This next session will go on till about quarter to one. I'm recording the sessions. I'm hoping they're going to come out nice and crisp, and we're going to upload them on our podcast, the Now Believe podcast. I'll make that available on online on Facebook. If you go to Now Believe Facebook, my personal Facebook, so you should hopefully be able to get all the talks. And I'm trying to get last night's as well. I think it would just be a great 5 or 6 session talk thing to have your home group go through or your church. Amen.
Amen.
Can you sign? Thanks very much.
Keep change.
Okay, thank you.
Right, great. Did I tell a story last night of when we went to Salt Coast on the coast of Scotland?
No.
Okay. So I want to talk to you quickly.
I'm going to pass this round for anyone who's not coming back this afternoon. This will be an offering, love offering thing, just to say more about that later.
I want to talk to you about the distinguishing marks of the ministry. And I was saying that, you know, what I felt as I was teaching over the last 12 years, as I've been traveling around the world teaching, one of the things that the Lord impressed on me was to teach about God's presence, about his presence and his presence in us and what that means and how that affects everything around us and changes everything. And and I tend to spend a lot of time on that, you know, and then I find myself rushed in teaching the actual model of how we do, but it's been for a reason. And we see the church stepping out into the impossible place. We see the whole the status quo, you know, whatever lie is over a city, a town, a city, or a nation, when the church steps out, realizing and recognizing who they are, the authority they carry, the presence of God, everything changes. We change the status quo of our nation. Okay, and so God has created us in his image. The threefold nature of God is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we are tripartite in nature as well. Thessalonians tells us this, spirit, soul, and body. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, I think it is, don't you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who lives in you? I just want to check that's where it is. Yeah, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you receive from God? You're not your own. And of course, Jesus also teaches about that. When he went away, he would send another like him, the Counselor, the Spirit of Truth, who will not only be with you, but will live in you. And there's other verses you'll find in the Bible that talks about the Holy Spirit indwelling us in this temple. And Paul likens the body as a temple. The temple consisted, just very briefly, of three major parts. There was the outer court, there was the inner court, and then there was the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies, or the most holy place, was where the Ark of the Covenant rested. Everything was coated in gold. It was a small room. And remember, the Ark of the Covenant was the instrument through which God manifested his presence. And that small room, coated in gold, was full of the Shekinah, the glory of God, the presence of God, the power of God. And the presence of God was separated from the outside world by a thick curtain. And only the high priest could enter behind that curtain into the very presence of God once a year. That's when the Israelites weren't on the move and carrying the ark, right? So it was the resting place was right there. And the high priest had to make a sacrifice for his own sins, for the sins of his family, and for the sins of Israel. And with fear and trepidation, I'm sure, would go with the blood of the sacrifice in one hand in a bowl and the incense in another, and he would begin to walk with some trepidation towards a thick curtain. It was said that there was bells and pomegranates around his garments, so you could hear when he walked, you could hear the bells ringing. It was said they would tie a rope around his waist and they would lead him in like that. They would, and he was hoping that he'd made the sacrifice correctly, because if he hadn't, he would just drop dead, you know, in the presence of God, and they would just have to drag a corpse back out. So he went with fear and trepidation, and when he stepped into the presence of God, he stepped in with reverence and with awe. It was like a really awesome experience. We use the word awesome too much, but for the high priest, it really was an awesome experience. And when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world. And I love that Dom made reference to this in the prayer, that the Lord Jesus became the perfect sacrifice. He was a lamb without spot or blemish. The sacrifice once for all time. Excuse me. Biscuit. That willingly he went to the cross. Willingly he gave up his spirit. He said, it is finished. At that moment of his sacrifice, God the Father accepted and received the perfect sacrifice once for all time. No more would there have to be another sacrifice like it. The curtain that separated the presence of God from the outside world was torn in two to show that God had made the way open to every man, woman, and child. When there was a release of the presence of God into the world, there was an earthquake and the dead were raised back to life. Whenever there's a release of the presence of God, the dead can be raised back to life.
Amen.
Right? And you have to realize that your body, Paul likens your body to the temple. So the outer court represents, our physical body represents the outer court. This physical body is what God has given to us to interface with this world. Without this body, you would not be able to interact with this world. So all my sensory perception, this world is alive to me because of my sensory perception. Is the ground is solid beneath my feet. I can hear, smell, see, taste. Have I missed something out? So it's very much real. This world is real to me. Without this body, I would not be able to interact. So you've been given this physical human body to interface with the world. That's why Jesus spent many times in his ministry driving out demons, which are spiritual beings, evil spirits, unclean spirits, demons, which do not have a physical body. They cannot interact with this world unless they have a physical body, whether it's a human being or an animal. And we're not going to go into that into any depth, okay? We're not going down that route to let you know that. And then, so there's a physical outer part of our body. When we're in heaven, we won't have this body. We're told we will have a different body. Thank goodness. We won't have a body that's subject to aches or pains, decay, or anything like that.
Hallelujah.
It's like eternal. We'd be like, come on. It's amazing. I can't wait to see. But you have a soul. And your soul represents the inner court. The soul is what makes you unique. There is no one like you in the universe. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are unique. There's no one like you. You may have someone that looks like you. You know, my wife and I have a game we play when we go to airports. We go to many, many airports. And we have a game we play to see if we can spot someone that looks like someone we know or someone famous. Have you ever played that game?
Yeah.
It's a great game. We play that game. Sometimes we actually spot people and say, that looks like, actually, that is that person. It's funny. But you may have someone that looks like you, but I want to tell you that you're unique.
Amen.
There's no one like you in the universe. Do you know, I love this. This thought came to me, this mind-blowing thought, that at the beginning of time and creation, the Holy Spirit was hovering at the edge of time and creation in anticipation of what was about to happen. And when the Father conceived of you in his mind, and he thought about you personally, don't think about anyone else, but you personally, and he was thinking about this relationship that he was going to have for you that was going to last into the whole of eternity with you personally. Right? So he's thinking, I'm going to have a relationship with you that's going to be so beautiful that's going to take the whole of eternity to explore. The Holy Spirit is waiting in anticipation for the word to be spoken. So the Father conceives you in his mind. The Holy Spirit's waiting in anticipation. And then Jesus speaks, because he is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is with God. The Word is God. All three are needed. Jesus is the spoken Word. When, you know, he created us from the breath, from the dust of the earth. The whole universe is held together by his mighty Word.
Amen.
It is a strong force. I love science. I do. I just love the way science just keeps revealing the glory of God. Yeah. Do you know the strongest thing in the universe? I mean, they've given it different names, but they've called it the strong force. The most powerful thing in the universe is what holds everything together. They can't think of another. They said without this, everything would go up in smoke. I mean, it would just explode. They said they don't know what it is. It's invisible, but it holds everything together. I mean, we could tell them. Jesus, the word that he spoke, is what holds this universe together. But the moment he removes it, everything's going to roll up in flames. Yeah, so we could tell them that. So good. So Father conceives, the Holy Spirit waits and anticipates. The Holy Spirit is the active, powerful person of the three who makes it happen, but he waits for the word of command to be spoken, which comes from Jesus. Father conceives, Jesus speaks, Holy Spirit, see the word, three, and then you were born. You're created. There's nobody like you. Can you imagine that? Before your parents even thought of you, God had thought about you. And it's just an amazing thought that he loves us so much. And so you have a soul, it's your mind, it makes up you. There's no one like it. And then you have a human spirit. And the human spirit is the Holy of Holies. Because God is a Holy Spirit. God is a Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God is a Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let me just say it one more time. God is a Holy Spirit.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Does that feel good? Do you feel more the increase of his presence in this place? You say that.
Yeah, come on.
Holy, wow. Holy, holy. Amen. Is the Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
And he gave you a human spirit because that's where he communes with us. That is in our innermost being, our innermost place, is where we have communion with him. And when we are submitted to him in every area of our life, then you can shake, rattle, and roll. He came the moment we believed in Jesus, the moment we received him, He came to make his dwelling place here. Jesus, it's better that I go away so I can send another. I'm going away. The disciple says, we want to come with you. You can't right now. I'm not sending you here. I'm not leaving you here as orphan. I'm sending another like me. It's better that I go away so I can send, and I'll be with each one of you forever. So he sends the Holy Spirit, who the moment we believe in Jesus, the moment we receive, he makes his home. He lives within us. That one, if God would give the revelation of the truth that you carry it within your body, which is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You may not think that your body is a temple, but it is.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit of God lives within you. He that is in you is greater than anything in the world, than the universe, anything else. Do not equate the devil or anything demonic on a level with God. Please. You know, it's not Jesus and the devil. The devil is a created being. The demons are created beings. They're fallen angels. Okay. Are not angels ministering spirit, God's holy angels, ministering spirits sent to serve those that will inherit salvation? You have all have angels helping you. God's angels are helping you. If you could open your eyes, you'd see this place would be full of angels right now. I've seen my angels. I better not go down that route either. So. No, I'm not going to go down that route. No, it's another time. No. Another time. Don't have time. But honestly, you have angels. You have an amazing. Amazing. They're here. The presence of angels are in this place right now.
Amen.
You know, I was saying about how... the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant, and the Ark was, as I said, was the instrument through which God manifests his presence. The greatest trophy they could ever get, the Philistines over the Israelites, they carried the Ark and placed it in front of the temple of, in the temple of Dagon, in front of the idol of Dagon, which is like devil worship. You don't want to go there. The next day when the Philistines returned, they found their idol had fallen flat on its face before the ark of his presence. His presence tears down. Doesn't have to do anything. Just be. Just be present. His presence just has to be present. Tears down every stronghold. That's all. Don't have to say a word. They didn't like it. They put the idol back on its pedestal. The next day when they returned, it had fallen flat on its face. Now the head and arms had come off. And they're terrified. They want to give the ark back to the Israelites. They don't even know how to. The Bible says that, it depends on what version you read, that the Philistines began to break out in boils. If you want the literal translation to that, which is really funny, is they began to break out in hemorrhoids, piles, really bad ones, you know. They want to give they don't even know how to give the ark back to the Israelites. The presence of God is enough. You just realize everything you touch is transformed. It's, you know, many of you are, some people, I hear Christians say, you know, I really wish I knew how to heal the sick. And I said, do you know, you have healed more sick people than you know. Because we walk around in ignorance because we don't know what it is we've been given. You go into your workplace, you shake the hand of your colleague, your work colleague, you go and sit down. Your work colleague was developing a migraine headache. He didn't tell you about that. And he's thinking, I'm going to have to go home, you know, in a while. I can feel this migraine coming. He shakes hands with you and suddenly the migraine's gone. Where does that go? I know it was gone. And you're not, none the wiser. So you get on public transport, okay, or you're walking down the road and you accidentally bump into something. I'm really sorry. They're healed.
Amen.
You go and on public transport, get on a train or a bus, you take a seat, When you leave that seat, you leave behind a residue. I don't mean a stink. I don't mean a stink, okay, when I say residue. But you leave behind the sense of God's presence, the kingdom of God. Anybody sitting in a chair that you've just sat on can be healed. They can be delivered. They can have an encounter with God and think, where's that come from? They can start getting convicted of you know, I need to speak to someone about to think, you know, yeah. I'm starting to think about things of God. I'm convicted of this. I have no idea why. Yeah. And you're none the wiser. Mm. You're none the wiser. When you've been in God's presence, come out, you're clothed with the atmosphere and environment in which you've just been in. If you live and dwell in the presence of God, then everything around you is this environment where the ground that you stand on represents God's kingdom. The presence of God is there. The power of God is there. Everything you touch. So, Paul, cloths, handkerchiefs touch his body. They're taken to sick people. So whatever's on him, because of where he's been, is transferred onto the cloth. Cloth is saying to sick person's healed. I love this one even more because you know we tend to make a science out of deliverance, and it's like you need a degree before you can drive a demon out. And demons love that. Demons love it when you have to go through so much training before you can drive a demon. So yeah, come on, let's add a little bit more in there. Where have we gone from Jesus drove out a demon with a word to you need like a degree before you can drive something? Have demons become more sophisticated? Come on. You know, no, I'm not leaving because you haven't done A to Z, you know. It's rubbish. Here's a cloth that touched the body of Paul. I can imagine a person going, that guy's so demonic, I'm not even going near that one, throwing a bit of cloth. The handkerchief touches the demonized person. They're free. They're delivered. Read about it in the book of Acts. That's the truth. Okay, that's the truth. So I much prefer that. People say, Mark, do you warfare when you go out onto the streets and that, you know, beforehand? Do you like have like intercessors praying? My reply, I've got to tell you this before, you know, please don't misunderstand me. I understand the importance of prayer. I was surrounded by intercessors. Linda will tell you this. They were the most scariest women. They were my mums in Christ. They were like the ages between 70 and 90. Linda will tell you this, right? Honestly. They took me under their wing. I needed a lot of prayer back then, but I blame them for everything. Why? Don't blame Dom or anyone else. No, who invited this strange fellow, you know? I always blame those intercessors because they prayed for me so much. But God bless them. Amazing people. Why am I telling you this?
Do you warfare?
That's right. They say, do you warfare? So I was, you know, I understand the importance of prayer. And they knew how to pray. I mean, the earth shook when they prayed. They were scary. They could tell you what you'd eat for breakfast. Wow. That kind of scary, you know? So your life was an open book to them, right? So, I understand the importance of prayer, but people say, do you want to do warfare? I said, what do you mean? Well, you know, do you need to, you spend, you know, you must spend hours in prayer, warfaring against the powers and principalities. I said, no, I don't do any of that because I am warfare. Amen. I am warfare. If that's the dark place there, I go, okay.
Come on.
Amen.
Why? Because Jesus says, I'm light. I'm the light of the world.
Amen.
He's the light of the world. But he said, if I follow him, I'll never live in darkness. And he says, you're the light of the world. So I'm salt. I'm light. I'm yeast. I affect everything around me. It's not the other way around.
Amen.
Darkness does not invade light.
Right.
Light expels darkness all the way.
Right.
Jesus said, if you hold on to my teaching, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth. The truth will set you free. If you believe something that the enemy would sow a lie into your life in a little bit, you believe it. Faith works both ways. So for you, it becomes true. Right? I have a nickname. The demons have given me a nickname. You know what it is? Oh, no. That's my nickname. They go, oh, no. When God called me to work with Chinese, first of all, there's Chinese women I knew, and I thought I was going to work with Jackie Pullinger many, many years ago. The door was open, but the Lord says, no, that's not where you to go. And I thought, well, maybe I'll go to China. And maybe, possibly in the future, I will go to China. I don't know. But and then a woman came. I was preaching in this evening service. This woman came, Chinese lady, and I prayed for her. God really touched her, and the Lord reminds me I'm going to be working amongst the Chinese. The pastor of the church came up and says, Mark, this lady used to come to this fellowship, but she now works in a Chinese church in London. And I just felt God was saying that you have to go and help them. And she was instrumental in me connecting now with the Chinese church. Well, that particular lady in this meeting we were having, when I was teaching and encouraging them, cut a long story short, we pray, she starts to manifest, she's on the ground, this demon is manifesting. And the demon, this is what the demon said. I curse the day, and she's talking about, the demon's talking about me, I curse the day I ever saw you. I knew there was going to be trouble, now there's going to be trouble. And the demon said, you know, I told this demon to leave. The demon says, I cannot leave this woman. If I leave this woman, many Chinese will no longer believe in Gunyam, which is, I think it's the name, how you pronounce one of the idols, and will turn to Christ. I said, good, get out. And out the demon came.
Amen.
And then we went out and she led a Chinese person to Jesus.
Amen.
Because you have to realize this, it says, he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world.
Amen.
When Jesus sent the 12 out, he said, go heal the sick and tell people the kingdom of God is close at hand. But he gave the disciples authority over every sickness and disease and every demon. Okay, he sent the 72 out and he says, go heal the sick, tell people the kingdom of God is near. He didn't stop at the 12. He then gave this in Luke 10, the 72, the same authority. He said, I'm sending you out like lambs amongst wolves. That is how you're going to feel. There were some crazies within the 72 who said, come on, let's go. Yeah. But the majority were going, what? Did the Lord just say that he's sending us out lambs amongst wolves? But wolves eat lambs for breakfast. You know? There was fear and trepidation, but they were obedient. They went out. And when they returned, they were rejoicing, not because of any model or method, but the fact they had authority. They were sharing the God stories. I can imagine the excitement. And they turned to the Lord and said, Lord, because I find this hard to believe. And Lord, and even the demons submit to us in your name. They said, we can hardly believe this. Mm. And Jesus, who's full of joy, because the moment we begin to take hold of what he has made available to us, it brings joy to the heart of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning to the earth. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the evil one. Nothing at all shall harm you. But don't rejoice that the demons submit to you in my name, but that your names are written in heaven. I love the way the Lord always puts things in perspective.
Yeah.
Don't go on a demon hunting chase and get carried away with that stuff. But that your name is written in heaven. Keep your eyes focused on me and on heaven. It's where you belong. Okay. Submit yourself to God. Surrender yourselves, your lives. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Resist the devil, he will flee.
Amen.
Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. God has made you more than a conqueror, more than an overcomer.
Amen.
All right? So you have to realize when Jesus is in you, the Holy Spirit lives in you, so much more can happen than you can imagine. If only God would open our eyes. Oh, Lord, open the eyes of my servant so he could see. And Wow. Chariots of fire. We're surrounded by armies and armies of angels, you know. Don't be afraid. We submit ourselves to God. We resist the devil, even though things look impossible. I shared a story yesterday of, do you remember the Muslim man who, when I was in Usby in Sweden, I shared the story that we went to launch Healing on the Streets, and he was arguing with these local Swedes, older local Swedes who were drunk. Actually, they were racially abusing him, we discovered later. But he was really angry, and then he turned his attention to us. And it was like the air of, I mean, he started kicking these guys. There was violence there, and then he turned his attention to us, and he was really angry, and he turned his attention to Anna and to my wife, Linda. And he was verbally abusing them and all kinds of things. But they just showed kindness, showed love. They just stood in the face of that. And they just showed love and kindness. And he stormed off. But what I forgot to say, that some hours later, this same man returned. He made a beeline for Linda and Anna. And as he approached them, he began to weep, tears flowing down his, and he begged forgiveness.
Wow.
He begged forgiveness. He said, when I left you, all I could see was your face in my head, would not leave. And I saw the kindness and the love that you had in your heart. And remember what it says in Romans, his kindness leads to repentance.
Hallelujah.
Please forgive me. He said, please, please. Tears. Tears flowing down. It turns out that man was an economics professor who had written books that were being used in the universities in Sweden where he wasn't allowed to work. He was reduced to driving a bus, but he was an economics professor. I mean, highly qualified, totally frustrated. But we're in a really great place. But the thing is that, you know, God's presence changes everything. So do you remember when the Israelites were burying one of their men? And they see this raiding party. I think it was Midianites coming. And so they throw the corpse into Elisha's tomb. Just see in slow motion the corpse rolling into the tomb, touching the bones of Elisha. And then the corpse comes alive and then walks out. I think the Israelites would have run from their friend, their dead friend, rather than the Midianites. What's that all about? You know, Elisha's been in the presence of God. Everything that you touch, where you've been in God's presence, everything that touches, anything that where you've been close to, is transformed. We were on the streets, we hand out these flyers, really the invitations to go on the streets. We had one couple, parents of a girl who was interning with us from America. She was with us 3 years. They came out into the streets and said, hey, can we take one of your flyers? We have a daughter back home. She's 21 years of age. She's had eczema since the age of 14. So yeah, they took a flyer, went back. This is a story. They took this flyer. It was a, what's that size flyer? A5 flyer. They put it on the back of her neck where she has serious eczema. Just laid it there. The next day, when she woke up, her eczema was gone, but there was a faint outline of where the flyer had been. I think God has a sense of humor. We had his grandfather. A grandfather came to us and said, a year ago, I was walking by here, and I noticed what you were doing, and I took one of your flyers because my granddaughter wasn't with me, but she suffers with epilepsy. The day I took that flyer, her epilepsy stopped.
Wow.
These are just simple things, right? I'm just trying to open your mind up to what can happen when you're being a presence of God, whatever you touch. He brought out his wallet. He opened his wallet up, and inside the wallet was this flyer he's had for a whole year. And it was folded up into quarters, and he opened up, and it was almost falling apart. Opened it up. He gave it back to us. Thank you so much, he said. Time for a new one. Took a new one, folded it up, put it in his wallet. Okay. Everything you touch, every step that you take, to the place where you stand in a place, the presence of God fills that area. That people, it doesn't matter whether they sit on the chair or not, don't panic. I laugh when I see people, you know, I know what the Holy Spirit is doing. I see what the Holy Spirit is doing. I see the conviction on people and they're running through. They're like frightened rabbits, you know. I see people and they go, if you ever see this walk, you'll see it. You'll see it happen. I see it all the time. There's a walk that goes like this. Like, you know, walk like that. Not look. What that walk says is, please do not stop me. Please don't engage in conversation. I don't want to know. I don't want to talk. You know, I want to get out of here as quick as I can. And I'm looking at them. I'm thinking, you think you've got away, but you haven't. Okay. It is impossible to step into the presence of God without being touched. I know God is after that one. It doesn't matter whether they come and sit or not. If the area is full of God's presence, they're being touched by God. It's impossible. It is impossible to step into God's presence and not be touched. So you've got to see that and go, ha. Smile and go, the Lord's after you. You just don't know it yet. You just don't know it, okay? So this is what we saw in Coleraine. The presence of God is thick. We kneel on the ground. When we knelt on the ground, this something interesting happened. So the Holy Spirit is within you. For many of us, we have never knelt on the ground. This is what we did. When we first started, I remember in 2005, we got the banner was up, the chairs were laid out, we're ready to start, we're ready to go, we're going to go now. And we said, okay, let's come together, we're going to pray before we start. And we stood together and we started to pray. And one of the team prayed this, I'll never forget it. Lord, we pray that the people of Coleraine and those coming into this town would bow their knee to you, would bend their knee to you. And instantly, the Holy Spirit began to convict me. I said, but what about you, Mark? Wow. You know, I love, do you love it the way that when you pray, God always answers with a question? What about you? I thought, good question. Are you willing to bow the knee? I felt challenged. So, team, can we just do this? Can we just bow the knee? So we knelt down on the ground. And something amazing happened. It was like, for many of us, we've never done that publicly. Because we should be doing that anyway. Mm-hmm. It was like the tearing of the curtain within our own hearts. And when that curtain was torn, there was a release of the presence of God. Mm-hmm. His presence is already there. He's been waiting for us to join with him. When we knelt, it was a release. Lord, where does your presence come from above, from over there? No, from within us. Out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Mm. And the whole air is flooded with the presence of God. You could have hit a pin drop. You began to see the Holy Spirit touching people. And if you have eyes to see and you look closely at what the Holy Spirit is doing, you need to develop that sense of when the Holy Spirit is touching a person and look and be quick to move with the Holy Spirit. You'll see someone slow down, be quick to engage with them, okay? Because others are slow down, slow, 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 slow. Start to speed up, faster, faster, faster. You've missed the opportunity. When you start to see them slow, you know the Holy Spirit is touching them. But we start to see people being convicted. One person came and she had tears in her eyes. Tell me, what is this strong presence here? Every time I go by here, I'm compelled to stop. I'm drawn to this place. I have to stop. I feel so emotional. What is going on? So I went back as far as I could across the Diamond Square, and this presence is still here. Tell me, is this God? Oh, yes, it's God. I mean, when people are asking you that, in Husby, the Muslims going by were going, meaning there is something here I feel. This presence here, they were feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit. They have no words for it. This is weird, is the most common word being used on the streets. Weird for the Holy Spirit. But that's not a bad word in street talk. We have people going away and say, that's so weird. Bringing their friends and family back. Sit in that chair, it's amazing. Because they're encountering God.
Yep.
And then we see people like one woman going across, I'll never forget this, across the Diamond Square from the bank to Marks and Spencer's, which is across the way. Just remember what walking across. She's thinking, I'll go over, maybe I should go over to them for prayer for my shoulder because doctors can't do anything. By the time she got to Marks and Spencer's, she was healed. She made a detour, came straight over to us. Excuse me, can you explain this? One woman, another woman was told, go to that place because God is there and healing people. Right? You'll meet with God there. So she didn't have a car, but she got on public transport, buses and trains, got to where we do healing on the streets, but she got the time wrong. She was waiting for a long time. Nobody turned up. She went to a shop. Excuse me, this is where the Christians pray, out here. Yes, this is the place, but if you're looking for them, you've missed them. I'm sorry, you got the wrong time. She was desperately disappointed and turned to make the long journey back home. As she's walking back to the train station, she suddenly realized that actually God had met with her. She was completely healed.
Wow.
That even when you leave that spot,
yeah,
where you've been standing, that God is still at work.
Amen.
God is still at work.
Amen.
A grandfather had heard about healing streets. He was in his 80s. He was concerned about his grandson who was depressed, hearing voices and self-harming. He was cutting himself. We've seen scars. I have photographs of scars. A 15-year-old girl with scars on her arm. 10 minutes, scars are gone. Dissolved away. I have photographs on my phone. Amazing. So the grandfather was concerned about his grandson, but he's in a wheelchair, but he's bringing his grandson. So what happens? The grandson gets healed and delivered, gives his life to Jesus. The grandfather is healed and is out of the wheelchair. The grandfather can't believe it. So he brings his grandson back the next week and the week after that and the week after that and the week after that until finally he fully believes, and he's not in a wheelchair anymore. The grandfather's walking, but he can't believe that his grandson is no longer depressed, is no longer hearing voices, and is no longer cutting himself.
Amen.
And now he's completely convinced. He said to his brother Tom, who was 81 at the time, Tom, you need to get down to that place where God is and get your feet sorted out.
Amen.
Tom had really, really painful feet. So right across the Diamond Way is a shoe shop called Bishop's. Okay. So Tom's standing by Bishop's and he's thinking, well, I better go over there. So he's walking like this and he's like, the way he's walking, like, you know, when you have so much pain in your feet, you can't walk properly. He's walking like this. But as he gets closer to the chairs, suddenly the pain's going. And by the time he gets to the chairs, he's healed. So the team engage in conversation and ask him what he needs prayer for. And he's completely, he doesn't know what to say. He's going to think, if I tell them what's just happened, they're going to think I'm mad. And they realize that now... that God wants to speak to him about Tom's relationship with God. And they lead Tom to Jesus. Tom gives his life to God. Tom, the next year, becomes our most senior member of the school of student of the school of supernatural ministry that we have in our church at the age of 82. He's never led anyone to Jesus. So he prays this prayer. Remember, he's a brand new Christian. He's just joined Encounter School's supernatural ministry. He prays this prayer. Lord, would you help me to lead one person to Jesus this year? He leads 64 people to Jesus. Right? I see him on the streets praying, laying hands, seeing people shake under the power of God. He's giving words of knowledge, prophesying at the age of 62. Tom's gone to be with Jesus now. It's amazing. So we knelt on the street. It was like the curtain being torn. It's like we had this alabaster jar. Remember the story of the woman with the alabaster jar? We're going to finish soon. And you know when I love this story. It's one of my favorite stories. You know when Jesus is having a meal in Simon the leper's home? Isn't it amazing that Jesus dines with lepers? I don't think he was a leper anymore when Jesus had a meal with him. And he's in this house and there's other people in the house and they're all eating together. They used to recline, you know, they would lean on their seats in a certain way. And you know the story of the woman who comes into the house and she you know, there's some history to this woman. Everyone knows it in the house. And she comes in one sense, she comes in repentance to Jesus. And she stands and at the feet of Jesus, she weeps. I mean, she must be really pouring, you know, in repentance, pouring her heart out. And with her tears, she washes the feet of Jesus and then dries his feet with her hair. Then taking a pint of pure nard in an alabaster jar, which is a very expensive perfume, comes from a spikenard plant. She breaks this alabaster jar and pours the contents over the head and feet of Jesus, anointing him. And of course, you know the story that there's a lot of complaints and, you know, why this perfume could have been sold and used to feed the poor, that kind of thing. And Jesus said to them, you know, when I came into your house, you didn't offer me water to wash my feet. But this woman, not only has she washed my feet for the tears, she hasn't stopped kissing them. And she's anointed me with this perfume. And what she's done is such a beautiful thing that whenever the gospel is being preached, this story will be told in remembrance of her. I love that story because there's so much more. God's showing me just the beauty. There's so much more in it. I don't have time to share. But, you know, when you put gospel versions of this together, there's a line that you'd read and maybe never read and not go over it again, not think about it. But it says, the fragrance of that perfume filled the house of rings. Remember that line? The fragrance of that perfume. It's like a huge understatement. Because I shared this story once. I was in Oxford. We were doing Healing on the Streets training there. I shared this story on a Friday night. On a Saturday morning, this couple came to me and said, Mark, we've just come back from Israel. We have a small pot of nard that we bought there. We want to give this to you. Okay, I said, thank you so much. I've always wanted to know what this perfume smelt like, you know. So thank you. I'm just about to start. I'll put it in my bag and I'll smell it later. And it was this little plastic pot, see-through plastic pot with a plastic lid, screw lid. And it had this liquid, this yellowy kind of liquid inside. And they said to Mark, okay, but don't let any of it spill out because it's really potent. I said, okay, I won't. It's okay, it's in here. So I stuck it in my bag, but I forgot all about it, right? And then later in the afternoon, I was rummaging around in my bag. And you know when you're not thinking about anything, but then you get this waft of a fragrance. And you know when you get a waft of fragrance and it's like really refreshing, you ever know when it's like so nice, you want to have another breath of it and you want to breathe it in and find out, okay, that was so refreshing. It's like a really soapy, clean smell, you know, really refreshing. That's really nice. Where's that coming from? I'm trying to, you know, and I've got a good nose. I'm just trying to locate the smell of this. And the more that I'm sniffing, I'm realizing that this fragrance is blooming all over me. It's come all over my body, right? And I'm going, what's that? What's going on here? You know, and then suddenly it dawns me. Oh no! I've just been rummaging around in my bag. The nard. Oh, it must have spilt out. I'm panicking, so I look in my bag, and one drop has spilt out. It's coated everything in my bag. Right. For 2 years and more, honestly, with my New Testament, not this one, my small New Testament, I had a small New Testament. For 2 years, because it was in the Bible, in the bag at the time, in meetings, I was seen to be doing this in meetings, right? I know people are thinking, we knew Mark had a problem. He's odd, that one. You know, honestly, I could smell nard on my Bible for 2 years. One drop had coated everything. And when it says that the fragrance, that perfume filled the house we're in, you do not understand what that means. Jesus had a whole pint poured over him. You would have smelt him coming a mile away, right? He would have looked, oops, I'm so sorry, there's a puddle there. You know, so, oh gosh, that's all over there. So, oops, but not touch that. Anything he touched would have been coated with this nard. In our staff meeting, I was asked to anoint our staff, right? I've only got a small pot of it. I'm thinking, I don't know about this. You know, I just, you know, I'm going to use a little, you know, just. I haven't got much in there. Just a little bit, you know. Just a little dab on everyone's head, you know. Just dab and went in. Honestly, little dab. By the time I got to round about the last person, this room was so full of this heady fragrance. It was like we're all, the room's spinning. A pint, they would have been almost crawling out of that, crawling out of that house. Yeah. So coming to this heady fragrance, they would have been drunk with it. And it says that through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. So one who is perishing, you are the smell of death. So you're going to have the effect. If you ever smell something in decay, you want to run. You don't take another breath. You want to run from it. You will have that effect. Yes. Rejoice when that happens. Okay? Hallelujah. Because in the same way, you are to the one who's being saved, you're the fragrance of life. There are people who are dying to hear about the Jesus you know. Why am I being drawn to you? So if you get a bad reaction, know in the same way, there are people who are dying to hear. They're being drawn by this. Where's this fragrance coming from?
Come on.
Who has this? What?
Come on.
What is it? What is it you've got? I want it.
Come on.
You must be born again.
Exactly. 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 That's it. So you've got to be ready. You've got to do your part. The Holy Spirit will do his part. We are this earthen vessel, the treasure within. When you kneel on the ground, there's a breaking of that earthen vessel. This thing has to be cracked to release the fragrance within. I could tell you story after story. I'm not going to tell you. I'll tell you one or two stories and we'll finish. This is important to understand what it means to carry his presence, to carry the fragrance of Jesus. One time he went to, I'll tell you two stories quickly. Miracles happen when you kneel, just kneeling and releasing God's presence. Miracles start happening. We went to a place called Salt Coast. Anyone ever been there? It's the coast of Scotland. It's like a holiday resort. I mean, it's the middle of nowhere, really middle of nowhere. And we went to launch Healing on the Streets on a bitterly cold day. It was rain. There was a biting cold wind. And we went out onto the street. Honestly, the town was empty. Because you'd have to be pretty nuts to do any, you know, in that kind of weather. So, but this is what we're here for. So we set a banner up, put our chairs out. Nobody's there. It's bitterly cold. We're like bracing ourselves. Then we're ready to pray. Always kneel to pray to start. We got like in a circle together. We knelt in the rain, noses to the ground. We lent into God. God come, and then we pray corporately. It means everybody praying. The presence of God starts to fill the town. You feel his presence. You feel it filling the place, even through the cold. Presence of God filling. And then suddenly I hear a woman sobbing really loud. And I think, wow, like the Holy Spirit really is touching one of our team. You know, I've got to see who it is. To see a woman standing in the midst of us, sobbing her heart out. I realize she's not from the team. So we all stand up. The ladies take her. bring her to the chair, and they begin to pray for her. Now she begins to share what happened. The night before, she was a victim of domestic violence. She was beaten up one of many times by a drunken husband. She had come to the end of what she could endure. And she had made the decision that the next day she would go far away from her home and she would commit suicide. She'd made this decision to commit suicide. She got on a train early in the morning and she began going up the west coast of Scotland. And then she came to this odd town in the middle of nowhere, one of the stops called Saltcoats. She hears a voice saying, "Get off the train." She gets off the train. She thinks she's going nuts anyway. She starts walking in town. There's nobody around. And suddenly she sees this odd looking bunch of people kneeling in the rain. Any sight of that would draw anybody. I've got to tell you. So she goes, what's going on? She hears praying. She wants to hear what are they doing? She walks in a bit closer. There's a woman in front of her with her nose to the ground, eyes closed, and that woman who's praying is praying for her. She realizes that God has brought her here to this place. She realized that God has brought her here to this place. She bursts into tears. They take her, they put her on a seat. She tells them what's happened. When she was beaten up, her finger was broken in trying to protect herself. Her finger was broken. They prayed, instantly healed.
Come on, Jesus.
You love Jesus.
Amen.
Instantly healed. They lead her to Jesus.
Amen.
They lead her into hope and into life. Another place that I went to, it was in Dartford. Anyone know Dartford?
Yeah.
I was in Dartford in the early days. Before I had a beautiful PA, and I was doing everything myself, I was trying to juggle, and more invitations were coming, and it was hard for me to get to know everything was as it should be. And I just looked at this church's website, and I thought, wow, gosh, it looks like a professional website. Everything's going to be great. They'll have the equipment there, everything I've asked them. I sent them everything they need to get. But when I arrived there, it wasn't as I thought it would be. They didn't have the band. They had the graphics, which was like so big. I mean, the graphics in itself was 5.3 meters high with no pole to hang it up from. And I thought, where are you going to put it? I said, there's a post out where we're going to go and we can like tie it up to the post. I said, really? He says, yeah, it's okay. The chairs were all sponge seats, you know. We don't ask, we want hardwood gondolas or chairs that won't absorb rain. And it's raining. So these sponge seats are like, you know, can absorb all the rain. And we like to have well-designed flyers to give out, not photocopied pieces of paper that look like you couldn't care less, and it's, you know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like one raindrop would just go right through it. It was like so thin anyway. And then they had the PA, and the PA was like this size. Thank God it didn't work, because it would have blown up in the rain anyway. And so everything was like, oh, Lord, you know. So I just thought, well, I'm just going to give my best. So I remember the first night's training. Lord, it's not as if, but I'm going to give my best. I gave my best. I stepped out of the building. I'm looking at the one-way system. I see a man half hanging out of his window, passenger side window. I saw this blur. Next thing, a raw egg hits me in the throat, goes into my shirt, right? And any remains come out that way. And I stand there and I begin to praise God. I say, Lord, for you, Lord, for you. I thought, this is great. I am going to give my best. I worship God, right? The Saturday comes. Here it is. It's a wet day. We go onto the site. Honestly, it was a Everyone ever watch Fawlty Towers?
Yeah.
It was a scene out of Fawlty Towers. They tried to tie this banner that says healing up. The ladder wasn't long enough. The guy standing on the ladder couldn't reach the top. I said, in a moment, there's going to be a really nasty accident. I mean, need someone as tall as Dom to reach it. I thought, oh my goodness. Eventually, when they tied it, about two-thirds of it was rolled up on the floor anyway. It wasn't, you know, because that pole wasn't, it was just massive, massive banner. The sponge seat was soaking. I mean, you sat there and it was like, water was coming out, okay? Photocopy piece of paper just falling apart in our hands. It was like sticking to you. You know, it's like that. They're going, Mark, and people are throwing questions at me, and somebody came and they bought a canopy. They didn't even ask me, bought a canopy, about 100 pieces. They emptied it on the ground. You know, a canopy for
a marquee,
but they had like 100 pieces, throw it on the ground. But no, now I'm losing the presence of God, losing my peace. I'm going, please, everybody, stop. Stop, please. We have to, because if God's presence leaves me, I'm lost. I can do nothing without. Please stop, everybody, stop. I looked to the ground. The area was frequented by pigeons. There was pigeon droppings all over the ground. And mix of water, of rain, it was like slimy. I looked at the ground, I looked at everybody's really nice clothing, and I thought, I said, please, I have to pray. I'm not going to ask you to kneel, okay, because, I mean, you can see the ground, but I have to, please, right? I knelt on the ground. I didn't even look. I said, just pray, please. I was wearing khaki trousers. You know khaki trousers? Yeah. Yeah, when you get water on them, they go like dark. I was wearing khaki trousers. I got down on hands and knees in the slime, the bird poop. The moment my knees touched the ground, the peace and presence of God flooded the area. Honestly, split second, flooded the area. And the moment I felt his presence again, I said, Lord, thank you. That's all I need. That's all I need. Don't care about anything else. And I started to pray. I was praying. I looked up. I see everybody kneeling. And my first thought, oh, Lord, the clothing God's going to ruin. I got up off the ground. I looked at my khaki trousers. They looked as if they'd been dry cleaned. My khaki trousers were not wet, not one mark on them. When everybody got up, the pastor came to me and said, Mark, look at everybody's clothing. There is no mess on it. There's nothing on it. Right? Now, I wish that happened every time. It doesn't. Because there's times I've knelt in the rain and the wet. My knees were wet. But God did something there. And also, I'll tell you something. That the Spirit of God came. People were sitting on those sponge seats. The chairs, the banner, they're just props. You know that. You know God can do it without that. But it's just meant to help facilitate the church doing something on a long-term basis. God was showing me and underlined he doesn't need any of that. But the presence of God was what was vital, what was needed. And his presence came. And when we left there to go back to the place for a debriefing, people were still coming to the seats. And eventually the seats had to be taken. While we're debriefing, the doorbell was ringing.